The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
I'm sure I'm going to get really good advice from you.
Why do I have to be the insightful professional?
You just patted yourself on the back.
I'm losing you, buddy. I don't know what you're trying to say.
You're just so great. I love your show.
Am I close?
No.
Does that comfort you?
No.
I'm sorry, and I'm going to confess it, because I'm a holy guy.
I'm a little intimidated to talk to you because you use a lot of big words.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
You came to the wrong place. You came to the wrong place if you're looking for deep answers.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Doing my own stunt voices, my own discipline. No body doubles. Nobody writes my dialogue. Well, they might write yours. But on this end, no teleprompter. Nothing. All off the cuff. And I'm glad it is. All right, how do I get rid of that hitter? Never mind. Okay. Well, guys, I just lost line one because I am so technologically obtuse. I don't even know what I did. Okay, you're writing something, and it's underneath header. I'll take care of that when I get rid of it. Delighted to have you with me here on The Doctor Is In. If I don't have to do anything technologically, if I can just talk to you, I'm better at that. The number, 877-573-7825. 877-57 equal is the number to call to get onto the program. Now, let me get rid of that. There. I just took care of you totally. All right. You can call in if you wish to ask a question about something that matters in your life. Firefox is already running, but it is not responding. All right. Well, whatever it decides to do here. If you have a question about, well, these are the harder questions. Somebody else in your life. And that's what I'm going to do, a manologue. Well, maybe that manologue will come in the future. I'm doing a different manologue today. If you have a comment to help someone else out. You know, some of your comments are just spectacular. I make note of them. I truly do. Believe it or not, while you're speaking, I take notes, and I write them down. After a while, I collect them all up. I put them in a book, sometimes in books. Makes me sound smart. Yeah, I don't give you credit, and I make a lot of money. What a gig, you know? 877-573-7825 is the number to call to get onto the program. If someone is going to comment on something I said on the air to a caller, maybe a caller calls in with a circumstance, situation, a perplexing environment, something, and I make an observation about things to ponder. If I get an email that's going to disagree with me, it's going to be because they said that they had a similar situation and they handled it a certain way, or they took a certain supplement, or they did some kind of very questionable approach that they read on the internet. In other words, they had success in the way that they took care of the problem, be it a kid. You know, I'll have a grandmother write in and say, well, when our son didn't stay in bed when he was four, here's what we did. We got a little light, and we put the light on, and because of the little light, we put a guardian angel picture up there, and he stood there and saw the guardian angel, and this is all wonderful. That's great. I'm glad it worked for them. It's good. I'm not saying it wouldn't. The implication is, because my experience was this, this will be successful for everyone. That's a very risky kind of thinking. It's natural. We all tend to do it. I think that's one of the advantages of being a so-called professional counselor. In that, you see a lot of experiences in similar situations. your sample size is a lot bigger. You haven't seen one child or two children who have done something like disrespect. You've seen hundreds, if not thousands. As a result, you see themes. You see generalizations. You see things that could probably fit most people. Nothing fits all people. Fit most. Probably when folks send the strongest letters is when they personally have experienced something. For example, you know, someone might write in. We've had a caller, for instance, that would say, well, my father-in-law has done A, B, C, D, E, and F. And I say, well, you consider doing LMNOP. The writer will say, I did LMNOP, and it blew up in my face. So, Dr. Ray, you don't tell people to do that. You don't make that suggestion. Well, I don't doubt that it didn't work for that person. Now, I have no idea why it didn't work for that person. Obviously, you can't know the whole picture. You can't know what that person's father-in-law is like. You can't know any of that. But there is a danger, and we all do it because that is our personal experience with a situation. If someone comes to us asking for our advice, what is our advice usually founded upon? It's typically founded upon what we went through. Example, you're in a very difficult marriage. It's a struggle. You go to a person that you trust, that you think they have some wisdom. However, this person also has had a very turbulent marriage, and this person has decided to civilly divorce 4 years ago their spouse. Their experience on what to do in that situation that they see as very similar to your own is going to be colored by how they approached their circumstances. The fact of the matter is, as similar as things appear to most of us, there are a lot of differences. Even in situations that we think, well, yeah, you know, I went through the exact same thing. No. Very few of us go through the exact same thing as somebody else because we have different personalities, we have different genetics, we have different histories, we have different connections with God, we have different requests for grace. I mean, the variables are all over the place. So the best we can say is, here's what I did. Here's what worked for me. Here's how I approached this. Most people, let's say you go to somebody for parenting advice, they're going to base their parenting advice on their own child rearing. On their kids' temperaments. That's part of the problem when someone calls or someone writes and says, well, we made sure that we prayed the rosary every day. And because we prayed the rosary every day, I have a daughter who is a nun and a lay missionary son. Now, of course, praying the rosary every day is a wonderful, beautiful, holy thing. Well, it can be. You throw kids in the mix, it can get a little turbulent. And that's good advice. Where the problem comes in is the person saying, because I did that, I had this guaranteed outcome. And if you do that, you'll have the same outcome. There is where the stumbling block can occur. Yes, we all speak from our own experience. It's all we know. personally anyway. And if we recognize that that was our experience, maybe it'll be helpful to somebody else. That's great. But to extrapolate from our experience, the way we solved the problem, to how it should be solved for all people, under all circumstances, in all conditions and situations, that's where we can misguide. 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. And I got to see if I can get this computer to pay attention to me now. There it is. I got it. I'm Dr. Ray.
Dr. Ray has more great advice soon. Don't go anywhere.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Ever thought you'd make a bundle by trading in or selling your used vehicle only to find out it's worth a dinner for two? Well, it's much more valuable to donate your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Thousands of Americans donate their vehicle each year. The donation to Ave Maria is easy, tax-deductible, and supports our efforts to evangelize. A year from now, will you remember that dinner or your gracious and selfless donation? Go to AveMariaRadio.net to find out more. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Chel Cirelli and Fratelli, sisters and brothers. Teresa Tomio here from Catholic Connection. Through the years, so many of you have contacted me asking for my advice on traveling to my favorite place in the world, Italy. Being that I've had the blessing of visiting the country more than 50 times now, I've decided to respond to those special requests by introducing Tease Italy at TravelItalyExpert.com, a website for all things Italia where you'll receive insider tips on where to eat, stay, shop, play, and most importantly, pray. At TravelItalyExpert.com, you'll discover, with the help of our key partners, Ave Maria Radio and Corporate Travel, this beautiful Catholic country through videos, blogs, and even personal travel consulting. So whether you're planning that upcoming visit or just want to learn more about Italy, connect with me on TravelItalyExpert.com. Ciao for now. We'll see you online at Tease Italy, TravelItalyExpert.com.
Randy having an in-body experience. I feel like I'm trapped inside my body, looking out through my eyes. That's an odd feeling, isn't it? You ever had that happen to you? Good to have you with me here on The Doctor Is In. My wife was, she does a little Bible study, and she said, Ray, how do you spell Armageddon? And I said, I don't know how to spell Armageddon, but because I can't, it's not the end of the world, you know. Cindy is calling with a generic, philosophical, slash, well, almost quasi-theological question. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Dr. A. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Dr. Ray, is it important to respect other beliefs? And are there relations?
Mm-hmm. When you say that, do you mean beliefs? What kind of beliefs?
Religious beliefs, maybe moral, theological beliefs.
So would you say, for example, radical Islam, you would say, well, I have to respect the fact that they think that if they kill an infidel, that they'll go straight to paradise?
I need help.
I don't want to get I don't want to get shrinky on you, Cindy. But
okay.
I got to define respect, and I got to define beliefs. When you say respect, do you mean acknowledge, or do you mean say that they are equally as truthful and as God-given moral as what we most deeply believe through our church?
I would say more of the acknowledgement.
Okay. I don't think there's anything wrong with acknowledging it, because that's reality. That's how they think. That's how they believe. I acknowledge that. I guess it comes down to how far their beliefs veer. You know, I gave you the extreme example. All right, it's okay to plow a plane into a twin tower. All right, and not only is it okay, but it's heroic. It's morally good. All right. So most of us can look at the extremes that prompt behavior, because all behavior comes out of some kind of belief, and say, oh, I may recognize that's how they think, but I certainly in no way respect that or go with it. But what happens if you get into that gray turf? You have a delightful friend. And this friend is Orthodox Jewish. Very moral person, pleasant person. Matter of fact, in a lot of ways, this person is living as a Christian more than a lot of the Christians you know. However, this person also just believes Christ was some guy. Okay. You've gotten into discussions. Does it mean you don't respect their beliefs if you ask them about them, if you try to understand why they think the way they do, and then if you give them your own perspective? Is that not respecting? Do you have to acknowledge it and say, well, you believe what you believe, I'll believe what I believe, and let's all just get along? What do you think?
It's tough.
Yeah, it is. And you say, are there relationship risks? Yeah, there sure is. I will tell you, Cindy, One of the most ridiculous things that people now say, but I think it reflects what we've become in our thinking and our discourse. You don't talk politics and you don't talk religion, which really for most people are the two most important things in their lives, outside of their family, of course. So to say you don't do that is a commentary that we've lost the ability to have a civilized discourse on that. Somebody's going to get mad. Yeah. Somebody's going to get accusatory. Somebody's going to start calling names. There's no desire to hear how the other person thinks. When I get into discussions about abortion with people, my first concern is not to tell them how I think, how I believe natural law is, how I believe biological reality is. I'm going to get them to explain to me how they came to the conclusions that they have. And I'm going to follow out their logic and ask them other logical questions that would spring off of what they just told me. Well, we really don't know if it's a baby. Okay. When will you know if it's a baby? Well, science has to determine that. Has science determined that? They know. Okay, how do they know? At what point? At the point that the child could live outside the womb?
Well, yeah, that's right.
So then are you saying that any abortion past, say, about 6 months would be killing a baby? You see what I do, Cindy? I kind of want to see, okay, those are your beliefs. I'm not immediately challenging them. I got to get into your head. And you know what I've found? This is kind of sad, Cindy. I have found that most people have not thought out their beliefs. My 22-year-old son, Peter, he gets in a lot of discussions with his peers. And he comes to me frustrated. He says, Dad, all they do is think in cliches. They think in sound bites that they've heard. They haven't thought it through. They haven't considered it. They haven't used logic or reason. And he says, when you try to use logic or reason with them, they get mad. I said, yeah, Petey, you're not trying to impose your beliefs on them. You're just trying to say, okay, how have you thought this through? So, yes, to answer your question, Cindy, I'm going to acknowledge how you think. I am. I'm not going to just come at it right away. And I think this is part where parents get in trouble with kids. When these 22-year-old kids decide that mom and dad are religious throwbacks and all of the Catholic faith that they raised them with is ridiculous because the culture says so. And the parent just comes at the kid trying to say, well, you know, there is a God and God has decided this or God has decided that. The kid looks at him like, well, first of all, we haven't even established there's a God. So the parent has to back off and get inside the kid's head. How did you decide when you went to college that the whole idea of a God or the whole idea of Jesus being a God, being God, is really doubtful? What happened? How did you come to that conclusion? You're not imposing any beliefs. You're just saying, I want to know how you got yours.
Okay.
Now, last question. Are there relationship risks? Yes. And I'll tell you why. I have found that when you directly challenge someone's beliefs, well, this is what I think. Well, yeah, well, this is what I think. Well, this is why you're wrong. Oh, yeah, well, this is why I think you're wrong. There is a certain immediate hostility. But I'll tell you what, I have experienced. Sometimes there is even a worse hostility when you try to get them to explain themselves and it becomes very apparent to them that they haven't thought it through and they're sounding foolish. Now you've made them look bad. You know, it's kind of like the attorney on the stand, you know, not on the stand, the attorney questioning a person on a stand. The person knows what they're going to answer, but this attorney is really good at kind of, wait a minute, that's not it. And the person just gets upset. So, you're right, Cindy, and I know this is a personal question that you've asked because this is what we all face now. We live in a culture that is so diverse in its morals and its beliefs and its attitudes, and the rule is you can't question any attitudes or beliefs because they have every much as right to have theirs as you have yours. And that's true. They do. What they don't have a right to is their own facts. And there's the difference. Bless you, Cindy. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Dr. Ray.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I just got this. Says use indubitably in a sentence. I think I've answered that indubitably correctly. Then here's another one. My coworkers will continuously say Jesus when they're frustrated, complaining. How do you correct them politely? You could say, yeah, I know him. Do you know him? Yeah. Do you believe in him too? You could say that. Kind of little grin on your face kind of thing. You listen to pretty much anything, and they will say, oh, my God. That's very common. It's all over the place. It is even an OMG kind of shorthand used for any kind of texting or computer or whatever. I find it fascinating that somehow, somewhere, how come they don't say something like, well, let me pick a person here. I'm trying not to get too personal here. LeBron James, doggone it, LeBron James. No, they don't do that, you know. They won't say, oh, my Allah, because there are, in fact, much more prohibitions on that, or oh, my Buddha. But interestingly enough, I think because they will use Jesus' name is because we are a culture like that. We're a Judeo-Christian culture. So he has a higher profile in our culture. But you're right. You can't really say much other than, I know him too. Do you know him? 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. I'm Dr. Ray. You can call for our questioning or comments about what I said.
Yeah. What three virtues are embodied in the first commandment? The Catholic Catechism, paragraphs 2084 through 2086, tell us that the first commandment encompasses the three theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity. In this commandment, God calls us to worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. When we say God, we confess our belief in a constant, unchangeable being, always faithful and just, without evil. It naturally follows that we accept his words and thus have complete faith in him. Since he is almighty, merciful, and beneficent, how could we not place our hope in him? Finally, who could not love a creator who has poured out his love, his goodness, and his gifts on us? This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is Evidences for Christianity. New Testament critics claim that the similarities between stories and the Gospels is evidence of collusion, and therefore the Gospels are a fraud. But if that were true, why are there obvious differences that real collusion could have covered up? For example, at Jesus' tomb, was there one angel, as recorded in Matthew, a young man, which we find in Mark, two men, so says Luke, or two angels, as in John's account? Differences like these are not contradictions, but strong evidences that over the centuries, the different accounts were held in such high esteem that the Gospels have not been fixed, a fact that only adds to their credibility. And that's evidence for the authenticity of Christianity. To explore more, go to AveMariaRadio.net. Under Resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
I was home the other day, my wife, and I was kind of hanging around. I was watching my wife. I mean, she was all over the place. She's picking up dirty clothes, putting away shoes, carried out the popcorn bowl from the previous night, washed the breakfast dishes, wiped up coffee, fed the dogs. I mean, I'm just looking at her. I'm just admiring her. And I wondered, you know, she's probably thinking to herself, maybe he would offer to help. A penny for your thoughts, I said. She said, one of the things you probably like about me is how I always find ways to keep myself busy picking up after you. She didn't say that. Connie from Texas, it's a big state, is on the phone. She has a 16-year-old son who borrowed their car. And they didn't know that he let his female friend drive the car. Mm-hmm. Hi, Connie, you there?
I'm here. Thank you for taking my call.
Now, when you say he borrowed your car, I assume you allowed him to have.
No, he didn't borrow my car. My son doesn't have a license yet. What happened was that he was invited to go with a group of people to an activity. And as far as he knew, the parent of the young lady was going to be driving. So that was the impression I had. That's what he thought. So I texted the parent and asked her, you know, about the activity, who would be there, and, you know, if she would be driving or that she would be driving. And so by that time, I was already driving him to this person's home when I got a text saying, there will be parents there. It's a really great group of kids, but I will not be driving. My daughter's going to be driving.
And driving where, Connie? Just driving where?
To the activity. And it was a one-hour drive away from where they live.
Okay. All right.
And so the activity included other teenage kids, and she told me that there would be parents there supervising. But my you know, my worry was that, first of all, he was going to be in a car with a young lady that I don't know. They're just friends, and they actually had just met at another camp. I know the mother. I met her a couple of years ago.
Wait, Kyan. Let me stop you.
Okay.
You don't know the mother. You met her.
Well,
you don't
well,
know
no,
her.
Actually, we had met at church, and we had actually gotten together a few times, and I had met her two
Okay,
daughters.
let me clarify.
Okay.
You don't know her. You met her at church
well,
a couple
no, I mean,
of times.
Well, I don't know her like for years
right.
where we're
exactly.
just friends and things
well,
like that.
Well, you don't
that.
Know
right.
her to trust her with your son is what my point is. See, you're going where I'm going to go with this, and I'll tell you why. I just finished this, was it this morning or last night, a chapter that I'm working on in my upcoming book. And one of the sections deals with the vast majority of parents who supervise our children we don't know. We don't know them. You said there's going to be parents there. You didn't know who those parents were.
No, I didn't know who they
right.
were. No.
Exactly. Mm-mm. You didn't know. Now, I suspect where you're going with this is that at the last minute, you got wind there was a change of plans. And because
right.
you were already sort of on the way there, you had already given your son permission, you're thinking, well, man, I don't know if I have the right to say, oh, no. Is that it?
Well, yes, and he did thank me for not making a big deal out of it because I actually just discussed it with him before he got out of the car here a few minutes
okay, wait,
ago.
Wait. All right, there you go again. See, again, that's you're using the exact words that I used in my section of the book, which is, Mom, don't make a scene. You're not making a scene, Connie. You're basically saying to your son, you know what? This is all different than I was led to believe.
Mm-hmm.
So I we're going to turn around, son. Now, the Connie, the bigger issue here is for you as a parent, and again, I'm deal this heavy in the book too. Why were you reluctant to say, oh, well, this is different than what I was led to believe, so this is not something that I want you to do. Why?
Honestly, I just felt like, well, I have met the mother before. You know, I sat there and chatted with her for a while after, you know, they had left. And I guess I was just being trusting and maybe a little stupid as well for allowing it. Because, you know, in my gut, I was just like, oh, I'm not really on board with it. But, you know, we were, like I said, we were already on our way. We were there.
And it was okay with you that the girl was driving an hour? This inexperienced driver with
it
your son?
Well, you know, no, it wasn't okay with me. I was very reluctant. But, you know, just like you said, I'm not going to sit here and make excuses. You know, I did allow him to go.
And it worked out okay, as far as you know. But the question here, Connie, is how precious is your 16-year-old son to you?
Very.
Okay.
Very so, precious. And you know, that's... And like I was telling you, we were having this talk. I told him, next time you get invited to something like this, and, you know, I'm driving you. It's not, you know, I don't want to be, you know, sideswiped here and say, oh, by the way, I told him, so next time something like that happens, I'll be driving you, not the other 16-year-old person.
Can I throw another consideration at you?
Yes.
Next time this comes up, you better know the parents well, not just having talked to them a few times at church. And furthermore,
uh-huh.
you didn't know at all what other parents were going to be there. You didn't
yeah.
know really what other kids were going to be there. You didn't know what kind of cell phones they had. You didn't know anything. But you just figured, well, 16-year-olds get together, and they said there was going to be parents there. Okay. So.
Well, I guess my one caveat for that is that, you know, they are homeschool kids. I'm not saying they're perfect and they're not, you know, without any kind of sin, but I just, you know, that was probably my comfort was that
okay.
they were homeschool parents, they were homeschool kids. And so.
All right. Okay, that's a bit. I'm got to acknowledge that is definitely a generalization you can make. You can say, by and large, homeschool parents as a group are more supervisory and more vigilant Okay, I'll say that. That's a good point. But
yeah, because if it would have been anything else, I would have probably turned the car around and said no.
Okay.
I can honestly say that to myself. Yes, I would have done that. But because of that they were homeschool kids.
Use it as a lesson for next time.
Yes,
the rule is anything that changes, and I don't care if we're walking in their front door, if I find out there's going to be a movie there that I would never let you watch, we're turning around and walking out.
Mm-hmm.
Scene or no scene. Thank you, dear. 877-573-7825 is the number to call to get onto the program. Love to talk to you. I'm Dr. Ray.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
You as a parent apply Galatians 5. Is watch your kids as they move into the religious space, if you want to put it that way. I, you know, made noises about the priesthood on and off when I was a little kid. My parents were never oppressive about it. They never pressed me in that direction. But they would quietly indicate an openness to that, or like, that's a good thing. I remember I still have it upstairs, a Bible that my parents got me for Christmas in 1969. I'm a little kid. And it's, you know, from Mom and Dad to Bob, Christmas 1969. They knew, they sensed I was kind of interested in religious things. So I would say that, don't be pushy, of course, but don't go the other direction. That's, my generation got too much of that, was, back off. Who am I to tell you what to do? You make up your mind. No, I think gently, quietly, affirming that, yeah, that's a good thing you're thinking about. And you should be open to that.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI experienced many triumphs and near superhuman struggles during his papacy. Now go behind the scenes in Benedict Up Close, the inside story of 8 dramatic years, the latest release from EWTN Publishing. You'll learn how Pope Benedict's youth shaped his papacy, the real reason he resigned, and more. Benedict Up Close, available now at EWTNRC.com or call 1-800-854-6316.
Good to have you with me. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. I used to say Eastern Standard Time, but I was corrected. I got an email that said, no, it's not Eastern Standard Time. It's just Eastern Time. Interesting. Okay. What I'll do. Let's go to Teresa, calling from Indiana. Teresa, how old is this oldest son of yours?
He's 33. He was married before in the church and divorced 3 years ago and has not gotten an annulment and started dating a girl. And I checked her out on social media because she told me she wanted to be a friend on Instagram. And it said on her profile that she's a Satanist. And then they told us a few weeks ago when I was going to ask her about it, before I could talk to her about it, they said that they're going to elope because he doesn't want to go through the whole annulment process, and he doesn't really feel like he's a Catholic anymore. So, yeah, kind of gutted.
Well, the only thing at this... I shouldn't say the only thing. So one of the big things relevant for you at this point is your question, what the heck happened, right?
Yeah.
I know. You knew how you raised him. You knew what you tried to teach him. And all of a sudden, not only is he looking with doubt at what you tried to raise him with. He is going 180 degrees in the opposite direction.
Yes.
Yeah. How do you think that happened?
Part of it was, I think there's a lot of parts to this equation. I think he got married to a girl he shouldn't have. I think we allowed him, we homeschooled him, and we stupidly allowed him to live on campus his freshman year of college. And I think that a lot of things were going on at the college that I wasn't aware of. And, yeah, I think when he divorced his wife, it was an abusive situation, and he was the victim. And I think he just kind of felt like God had abandoned him. And we as a family tried to show him that that wasn't the case, but clearly that lesson didn't pass on.
You see, this is happening a lot to young people, abandoning their faith that they were raised in.
Yeah.
Yep, it's an epidemic. As a matter of fact,
how do I fix it?
you don't. Not at this moment, anyway. Obviously, you pray like crazy, which is what you've been doing.
Yeah.
That's why I don't say, Teresa, you need to pray about this. And you're going
thank
to say,
you.
Yeah, thank you,
yeah.
Dr. Ray. I never thought about that. It's interesting because, as I said in an earlier call about how I was working on a book, Defeating the Culture, and I just finished the section on college and said, you're making a big mistake. If you send your kid away to college, if you don't have to, I mean, maybe he needs a technical degree. Maybe he's getting a scholarship. Maybe it's a wonderful Catholic school. Okay, I got that. But for the most part, the bulk of kids who go to college to have the college experience, to live on campus and just have fun and party, and along the way maybe pick up a degree that they're not even going to work in their field in, along with $32,000 of loans, that's just incredibly stupid.
Well, and that's the thing. All his brothers and sisters have all lived at home and gone to school.
Smart move. Smart move.
Well, yeah, but I ruined it with him. So.
Well, let me put it to you this way. I don't think you can pin it on that 1 year of college.
No, I think it was a lot of things. The bad marriage, the abusive situation.
There you go.
Just a lot of things, yeah.
And him being who he is.
Yeah.
His personality. Okay, that's a big factor. Some kids absorb what they were raised with, and others' kids by their temperament, by their maturity level, by their natural rebellion, reject it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, will your son talk to you at all about this girl? Or he doesn't want to hear one word out of your mouth?
As long as I'm careful, how about that? If what I'm trying to do at this point is show him, you know, basically the love of God rather than all the rules and stipulations. But I didn't know until just recently that they were going to get married. So I don't know if that puts a different spin on things. So, yeah, we've talked about her. I mean, she seems like a sweet girl until I said that thing. And he told me that it's not what it seems, that it's just immaturity, that she's saying something that she thinks sounds cool, that in reality she's just an agnostic.
Well, if he lets you pursue it.
I can live with. I mean, I can work with that.
If he lets you pursue it, this is what I would ask next.
Okay.
I would say, if she would really think this, if she doesn't mature out of it, and in fact she grows more fully into this, what would you do then? I wouldn't want that. I couldn't live with that. Well, do you think it would be wise then to give it some time to see where she goes with it?
Yeah.
In other words, what you're trying to do, okay, you're taking his reasoning. His reasoning is, oh, Mom, no, I know that sounds bad, but it's really not. She's just trying to be she's just trying to be the new chic, Mom. Okay.
Yes.
Then are you fully confident that this will fade away? Or do you think there's a chance that she'll get deeper into it? And if she would, what would that mean to you? What would that do? Well, she's really a good person, Mom. She's really a good person. You know, you have to know her. She's just a nice person. She's a lot better than what I had, Mom. You know that. Do I sound like him?
You sound exactly like my son, actually.
Thank you. It's a curse understanding some of this stuff. How come I always understand the bad stuff, you know? I'd like to understand more of the good stuff. So given that, you planted a seed. Now, here's probably the more difficult aspect for you, Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
He follows through with this. He links up with her. Of course, he wants to bring her to family gatherings. He wants to have you respect her as his new wife.
Right.
You got to treat her well. You can't be icy distant. You can't do that. You'll risk losing your son.
You'll lose them both.
So you're not condoning anything he's doing. You're not clapping your hands and approving it and saying, "Oh, isn't this wonderful? She's just a little immature. She'll get rid of this satanic thing in time." Now, I know I'm going to get email that people are going to say, "Dr. Ray, if that's what her connection is, she should not be in your house." Okay.
Well, yeah, my husband and I did have that conversation. And my son asked if I would go to their, they want to get married at the courthouse. And I want to support my son, but I don't want to condone this. So I don't know what to do. Will I lose my son forever? I don't know.
I've seen priests come down on both sides of this. And, you know, for me to say one thing or the other, immediately somebody's going to say, "Oh, wait a minute." Now, the traditional view of it is, well, if your son is still Catholic, if he hasn't told the bishop he renounces his Catholic faith, then you can't go witness that. And if it were me personally, that's probably what I would do. I would say, "Son, I love you, but you know, you were raised Catholic, you were baptized Catholic, you're still Catholic, and for you to simply say, 'Well, I'm just forgetting it, man. I'm doing what I want,' and you're asking me to witness it, I can't do that. I love you, and I'll do my very best to love both of you, but don't ask me to go against my deepest held beliefs." Now, if your son is any kind of reasonable, he'll acknowledge that. If he's not, which, by the way, sadly, most people are not in these circumstances, he'll look at you like, I knew it. My mom's judgmentalness. Yeah. I knew it. This is the way it's going to start. Okay, Mom, you want to get along with her? Good first step, Mom. Okay.
Yep.
So that's sad. That's really sad.
Well, and that's my fear. I don't want that to. Yeah, I want to be able to.
Well, here's my thought on that, Teresa.
This is how God is.
Well, it is and it isn't, because here's my thought on that.
Yeah.
If he is that immediately hostile to you saying, "You're asking me to do something that goes against what I believe. You can think what I believe is ridiculous, but you're asking me to go against what I believe." And then he immediately is nasty and hostile.
Okay.
Then I guess it's only a short matter of time before you do other things he's going to be nasty and hostile toward.
Well, and that's kind of our relationship for the last, whatever, 5 or 6
years.
You see? Walking on eggshells.
Yes! Told you!
Yeah.
So you might as well just adhere to your own deepest held beliefs.
Okay.
Now.
That seems reasonable.
That said, you're going to have to really do a nice, I don't want to say an act, maybe that's too strong a word, but you have to do a nice act.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that you're going to have to really be pleasant and civil to both of them, even as they come up with new nonsense regarding the things they want and desire, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know. There comes a point where you probably would have to say, "Okay, no, wait a minute. If she's an active, practicing Satanist, I'm sorry, she can't be in our house."
Well, that's the thing. If we get to that point,
yeah.
I don't know how much of what he says is true. If she is just immature and thinks it sounds cool,
I doubt it.
Yeah,
I doubt it. I think what he's doing, I'm just guessing, but I think what he's doing is, "I don't want to hear it from Mom. I don't want her on my back. I'll just play it down." You know.
Right.
But I'm gonna leave you with this, Teresa. I'm way past break. Yeah. I'm gonna leave you with this. Will you please not agonize and beat yourself up over your parenting failure? You got that?
Oh, that's a hard thing.
That's crazy. My dear, that is crazy. You did your very best to raise this son with all your humanness and all your frailties and all your mistakes, and he gets swept along by the culture. The culture's hideous, okay? And as a result, so many of them, oh, well over 50%, are heading off that way. So for you to right. say, what could I have done differently? How did I fall short? How did I fail? You don't need that on top of the list here. You're already dealing with enough stuff.
Well, how do I save the others? He's the oldest of seven.
Well, I would talk to the others. I really would. I'd sit down and talk with them. You're going to have seven kids. You're going to have one or more that are going to probably leave the church. I mean, that's just, if you're playing the odds.
Statistics,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, statistics, my dear. Bless you. Thanks for the call, Teresa.
All right. Thanks for your help.
You're welcome. This is Dr. Ray. I got to run for a moment.
You're listening to The Doctor. Come in. Pull up a couch. Let's talk. The Doctor is in.
The EWTN home video highlight for July is The Chaplet of the Divine Mercy. This beautiful new rendition of the beloved devotional was shot on location at the National Shrine of the Divine Mercy in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. Enjoy five versions of this invocation of trust in our Lord. Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
We know how much you love Ave Maria Radio, so please consider joining us in our Care to Share program. It's easy. We send you 10 business size cards that give you all the great ways that someone can listen to Ave Maria Radio, and you just give them away. Share them with those you love and those who would really benefit from our great programming. For more information, go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to find the Care to Share program link. That's AveMariaRadio.net, Community, and Care to Share.
Dr. Ray Guarendi talking to Tammy from Columbus. Tammy, I'm gonna let you talk next show also because you got about a minute. How can I help you there?
I just wanted to thank you, Dr. Ray, because I've been praying for wisdom and to help a friend who has a daughter who's an addict. And I've only been using my own experience because that's what I have. But I needed your words to help me understand that what worked for me and my family may not work for her and her family. And that is so profound because I'm trying to get her to do it exactly my way. And that might not be what God wants her to do. And so it was really humbling for me because I've been praying for the answer and I feel like I got it.
I was an answer to your prayers.
You are in many ways, but I feel like God used you to speak to me today, and I am so grateful for that.
Thank you, dear. Here is something that you recognize with her. First of all, she doesn't have your temperament. She doesn't have your personality. So for you to ask her to do what you did may be real difficult for her.
Exactly.
Secondly, your situation with your daughter and her daughter, these are two different people, and you don't know how the one is going to respond to what mom is doing.
Right.
The best thing you can do is to find out what her capabilities are, what mom's capabilities are, what does she want to do, what is the history here. You're on a fact-finding mission, not so much, well, here's my facts, so you transpose these into your life. No, you're going to say, well, I can help you, but I need to know a lot of things. Tell me about your daughter. Tell me about you. How long has this been going on? What do you want to do? What have you done? What does she do when you do this? So you're exploring, you're helping her explore and clear up her own thinking on this. Tammy, call me back. That was a great call. Thank you, dear. Too bad you were at the end. I got to run. Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Melissa. And thanks, Eric, wherever he went. And thanks to all of you. Please walk with God. Hold your children tightly by the hand, as long as they let you hold their hand, you know.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRRay.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.